ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर टू टेक्स्ट 22। सो दिस इज इन प्रोस एक्चुअली, सो वी डोंट रिसाइट इट। अग्निध्रुराज तृप्तः कामानां अप्सरासं एवानुदिनम् अधिमन्यमानस्तस्यः सलोकतां श्रुतिभिः अवरुन्ध यत्र पितरो मादयन्ते। वॉट टू वर्ड मीनिंग वाइज डिवाइन ग्रेस इस भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। अग्निध्र राजा द किंग, अतृप्त नॉट सैटिस्फाइड कामानाम विद सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन, अप्सरासम द सेलेस्टियल वुमन पूर्वचित्ती एवं सर्टेनली अनुदिनम अधि एक्सीडिंगली मन्यमानः थिंकिंग ऑफ तस्यः ऑफ हर सलोकातां प्रमोशन टू द सेम प्लैनेट श्रुतिभिः बाय द वेदास अवरुन्ध गॉट यत्र वेर पितरः द फोर फादर्स मादयन्ते टेक प्लेजर। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। After departure, King Agnidra, his lusty desires not at all satisfied, always thought of her. Therefore, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king, after his death, was promoted to the same planet as his celestial wife. That planet, which is called Pitraloka, is where the Pitas, the forefathers, live in great delight. We'll repeat the translation. Responsibly. After Purvachitti's departure, King Agnidra, his lusty desires not at all satisfied, always thought of her. Therefore, in accordance with the Vedic injunctions, the king, after his death, was promoted to the same planet as his celestial wife. That planet, which is called Pitraloka, is where the Pitas, the forefathers, live in great delight. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. If one always thinks of something, he certainly gets a related body after death. Maharaj Agnidra was always thinking of Pitraloka, the place where his wife had returned. Therefore, after his death, he achieved that same planet, probably to live with her again. Bhagavad Gita also says, Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tejatyante kalevaram tam tam evati kontaya sada tad bhava bhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he'll attain without fail. Bhagavad Gita 8.6. We can naturally conclude that if we always think of Krishna or become fully Krishna conscious, we can be promoted to the planet of Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally lives. I'll also read the text 23 since it is the last text of the chapter, and the chapter finishes there, and it has no purport also. I've been asked to do like that. So I'll read text 23, the translation. After the departure of their father, the nine brothers married the nine daughters of Meru, named Meru Devi, Pratirupa, Ugradamstri, Lata, Ramya, Shama, Nari, Bhadra, and Devaviti. Thus end the Bhaktivinoda purports of the fifth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Agnitra. Om Agyanati Virindasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Bilitamena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Vistaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pricharine. Nirvishesh Shunyavadi Pashyat Deshtarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, today is Bhismashtami also. So, we'll be discussing on this verse, on the purport of this verse, and also, right, we'll see about Bhismashtami also. So we have till 9 o'clock? Yeah. Okay, fine. Yeah. So, Agni Dhru Raja Triptaha Kamanam Apsarasam Evanudinam Adimanyamanas Tasyaha Salokatam Shutibiravarundha Yatra Pitaro Madayante. So here we see there is a paradoxical word. I'll take the blessings of all those senior devotees, right, set for proceeding. So there is a paradoxical word here. What is a paradox? Paradox means something which is contradictory. Paradoxical word. So the word given here is Rajatriptaha. Agnidra Rajatriptaha. So Raja means king. And the king is unsatisfied, dissatisfied. Right? King is king of the entire world. King Agnidra was the king of the entire world. So, generally when one is a king, right, how can he be dissatisfied? Right? That is what normal people may tend to think like that. Because people, they think that king of the entire world means the greatest position, in one sense. So when you have big positions, great positions, then only you can be satisfied. This is what is the general understanding which we have, which people have. Just like now recently, right, 2-3 days back, I think maybe just 2 days back, Satya Nadella, he's been declared as the CEO of Microsoft. So this is one, the CEO of, the king of Microsoft, after Bill Gates and after one more person. So after that has happened, right, this person, he's from Hyderabad, right, Satya Nadella. So all the Hyderabadians, they are very happy, right, and in the school from where he originated from, so they're also celebrating, and for them it's like a big position which has been achieved by an Indian, right, by a Hyderabadian. Right? And not only, right, India, several others, it is said over the web, people are, Google searching for Satya Nadella. He's become suddenly so popular. Everybody is searching for him. Right? And hundreds and thousands of people, definitely, those who are in the software industry or something, they must be thinking, oh, what a big position he must have achieved. Right? It's one of the biggest positions for them. But all the big positions in the world, right, we understand that they can be, Maya can bring them down to their knees just with the lift of, lifting of her eyebrows. That is given in Kapila Muni's third canto, where Kapila Muni says, just try to understand the power of my Maya in the shape of a woman. Kapila Muni says that. So here, even though Agnidra is the king of the entire world, he is not satisfied. So this is proof. This is proof that no amount of sense gratification, no amount of any position you achieve in this world, you can be satisfied. Raja, atriptaha. So atriptaha, Agnidra Raja, triptaha, atriptaha, kamanam. So atripta kamanam, right? It is similar with the verse, tripyanti neha iva dukkha bhajam, bahu dukkha bhajam. Tripyanti neha means what? This is one verse, right, from Prahlad Maharaj, from the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, wherein Prahlad Maharaj is instructing his classmates there. And he's saying, tripyanti neha, bahu dukkha bhajam. How is the word, right? Yan maithunadi, yan maithunadi, grihamaydi sukham hitucham. So grihamaydi sukham, right? What is grihamaydi sukham? This is the happiness which the householders, they have. Right? Grihamaydi sukham. This is not the happiness of Krishna consciousness. This is not the happiness of spiritual life, but the happiness of householder life, especially of sex life. So you see, normal householders, what is their lifestyle? Right? If you go to any non-devotee's house, you can see this. Right? That their day starts with, in the morning with reading newspapers. They'll start reading newspapers, sipping tea and coffee, right? Then watching television, different serials in their own mother tongues. Right? It's very palatable when they hear in their own, right? Especially in India, there are so many dialects, so many languages and all. So the TV channels, they have special TV channels for special languages, the different languages and all. So they watch this, right? Then, right, in India, they watch cricket. Right? Then they solve their problems, different problems which are hindrances in their sense gratification. Eat different varieties of food, go out to restaurants, party. Right? So, right, they even go to yoga clubs and all, so that their health is not a disturbance for sense gratification. This is the, right, and when you talk about spiritual life to such people, they immediately say, who has seen? Who has seen all this? This is the first thing they'll say. Who has seen all these things? Right? Their argument is like that. Huh? So, kama upabhoga parama etavad iti nishchataha. Right? Their highest goal in life is sense gratification. They do not know anything beyond this. They do not understand that there are different levels of happiness. For them, the happiness of sense gratification is, right, parama. Etavad iti nishchitaha. They have just determined that they will remain with this. Right, so, there are happiness at different levels, actually. There is jadananda, there is brahmananda, and there is premananda. Right, different. Jadananda is material happiness. Brahmananda is the happiness which is found in Brahman, and Premananda is the happiness which a pure devotee experiences in Prema, which is the highest level of happiness. But for such type of people, right, Grihamedi Sukham, the pinnacle of their sense gratification is what? The happiness found in sex life. Right? Happiness found in sex life. This is a pinnacle, right? They think that is nothing. There cannot be anything beyond sex life. They cannot imagine there can be anything, right? Once I was traveling in Bombay in an auto rickshaw, and whenever, right, this auto rickshaw wallahs and all, they see, right, a devotee, some of them, they start talking, right? And right, they say that, no, I am also a Vanji. So he started telling me like this. And then he said, right, I was surprised, right? Then he said that, you are married? I said, no. He said, oh, you are not married. Right, oh, you are missing out on the highest pleasure in the material world. Right? So he was saying like this. So then I told, right, I was surprised, you know, right, how he was talking like that. So he was so much convinced. He said, you are missing out on something which is, so you don't know what is life. So confident, right? So yanmaitunadi grihamayadi sukham. So therefore, what is this sense gratification? Life, it is starting with maitunadi. Beginning is sex life. Maitunadi means the beginning is sex, starting with sex life. Yanmaitunadi grihamayadi sukham hi tucham. So Prahlad Maharaj says that this happiness is insignificant. It is tucham. Whatever you are aspiring for. The sex life happiness is tucham. Right. And then he says, what is the nature of this happiness? He says that, what is the next line? Kanduyanena karayor iva dukkha dukkham. He says, kanduyanena karayor means it is like the itching. Right? Itching is a disease actually. So we see Prahlad Maharaj is comparing sex life to a disease. And already the material body, it is an infection. It is a fever. It's already intoxicated condition. So on top of that, sex life means more intoxication, actually speaking. It's more intoxication. So Prabhupada said, modern civilization means increasing the fever of the already existing fever is there and increasing the fever, feverish condition. Right? Sick person cannot enjoy, actually speaking. A sick person cannot. Therefore, in this material condition, material body means one actually cannot enjoy. It's a sick condition. Only healthy person can enjoy. Right? So yan maithunadi grihamadi sukham hi tucham kanduyanena karayoriva. So it is just like a scratching of an itch. Right? Everybody knows that. When you scratch an itch, right, what happens? Right, it goes on becoming worse and worse. So what is the result? Iva dukkha dukkham. The result is more miseries. So sex life therefore means the more one tries to enjoy, the more one, it becomes troublesome. The more one tries to enjoy, kanduyena karayor iva dukkha dukkham. It goes on increasing, troublesome, more and more troublesome. And then, right, what is the end result of taking so much trouble? Tripyantina iha. Right, even after taking so much trouble, tripyantina iha. There is no satisfaction. There is no satisfaction. On the contrary, bahu dukkha bhajam tripyantineha bahu dukkha. Not only no satisfaction, but at the same time miseries goes on increasing. Then what should one do? Right? So therefore it is given kandu tivan vish manasijam vishaheta dhira. Kandu tivan manasijam vishaheta dhira. So what is one advice to do? Prahlad Maharaj is advising, therefore one must, an intelligent person, what does he do? He tolerates the itching sensation. He takes medicine for that. He takes treatment for that. He has a diet for that, but it doesn't scratch the itch. It doesn't go on scratching the itch. So what happens when one doesn't scratch? Then it becomes better and after some time it goes away. So this is what is meant by tolerating the itch. The desire for sex life is also like a itch. So in one sense, one should not get into it. But sometimes people think also that let me be done with this sense gratification business. And then after some time, when I'm satisfied, I can then just give it up. This is the general psychology. But the problem is that when you get into it, right, you get attached to it, you get more and more entangled. Get more and more entangled. Right? The experience is there, definitely. So there are two kinds of people, right, who are already into it. So one of them, right, is like Maharaj Jayati. Right? Maharaj Jayati also, after thousands of years, Right? He realized. He enjoyed with Devayani and Sarmista for 1,000 years. And after 1,000 years, what is he saying? He's saying, I am still not satisfied with this business. And not only that, he realized that I can never be satisfied. These senses, they can never be satisfied. The more I give them, the more they demand. They have been demanding for lifetimes and I have been supplying. Right? And I have been a bad supplier. The senses are not satisfied and I am also not satisfied. Both are not satisfied. Right? So what does the intelligent man think? The intelligent man thinks, I have tried it. I have tried every way. Now let me just forget it. Let me just give it up. This is an intelligent person. We see even Pururava, right, in the Aila Gita, in the 11th canto. Right? Jai Shishi Gaur Nitai ki, Shishi Krishna Balaram ki, Shirada Sham Sundar ki. So the intelligent person, actually, he aspires to give it up. He understands. Pururava, in the Aila Gita, right, he says that. Says that I have been running after Urvashi, mad after Urvashi, the king of the whole world, running naked after a woman. He says, I have been reduced to this condition because of my infatuation with this, because of my lusty desires. Right? So when he started lamenting, because Urvashi had left, so out of that lamentation, right, realization came and he became detached. And even though, right, there's a striking difference here between Agnidra and Pururava. Right? So here it is given that he was promoted to the same planet. And definitely he must have gone Agnidra. But in Pururava's case, it is given that even though Pururava, he got the eligibility to go there, he didn't go there. He renounced that position. Right? So intelligent person understands that, forget it. Right? It's not just possible. Senses can never be satisfied. But the other person, right, the non-intelligent person, what does he think? He thinks, there is a possibility still that I can be satisfied. Maybe I am not doing it the right way. Right? Things need to be changed. Right? I have to do the right thing. Maybe I have to get a new wife. A different wife maybe. This one was not good. Or maybe more wives could be better. Or maybe have one wife and an extramarital affair. 2-3 girlfriends. Right? Maybe that. Change the situation, right? And satisfaction will come. This is a less intelligent person. Right? So therefore we see Agnidra in this condition. So what happened in this condition? Agnidra rajatrittaha kamanam apsarasam evanudinam. Evanudinam means every day, right, he was thinking about Pitraloka, he was thinking about Purvachitti. Right, so sense enjoyment, especially woman or man. Man is maya for woman and woman is maya for man. So sense enjoyment with man or woman, what happens? It consumes your entire consciousness. You cannot think of anything else. It consumes. Right? No other thought will come. Right? Just this. A person becomes helpless. Completely. Completely consumed by it. And then, evanudinam. So what is the result of evanudinam? Salokatam. Right? Because of thinking of her, therefore, Salokatam, he has to go to the same planet. Yam yam vapi svaran bhavam tejati yante kalevaram tamtam evati kontaya sadatat bhav bhavitaham. Right? Whatever one thinks at the time of death, one attains that without fail. Right? This is 8.6. Therefore, in 8.7, Lord Krishna says, Tasmat. Right? After saying this, he says, Tasmat, therefore, be careful. Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yuddhacha. So Krishna is saying, right, therefore, don't think of anything else other than me. You give your mind to me, don't give it to any woman. You give your mind to me. Right? Let your mind not be carried away by anything else. Let your mind be carried away by me. So devotee therefore is also praying to the Lord. The devotee is also praying to the Lord. Oh my Lord, right? Let my senses and my mind not be carried away by anything else. Na asya harati vayur navam ivam vasam. Na asya harati prajnam vayur navam ivam vasam. The mind and intelligence can be carried away by the sense objects. The devotee is praying that let this not happen. Oh my Lord, let your thoughts, let please you carry me away. Right, like that. So here, Srila Prabhupada also says that we can naturally conclude that if you always think of Krishna or become fully Krishna conscious, we can be promoted to the planet of Golok Vrindavan, where Krishna eternally lives. So remembrance of the Lord is very much necessary. Right, so in general, that if we try, right, all devotees, if we try to remember Krishna even throughout the day, right, we are doing so many Krishna conscious activities. So if we try to remember Krishna, even within our activities, different devotional activities, it's difficult. It's difficult, right? We can do that as an experiment and we can find out that it's not actually possible so much. Right? In general, I'm saying, for those who are right on the normal rank and file devotees, not for advanced devotees. So why is this not possible? So Lord Krishna in the 12th chapter, he says, right, there's a reverse yoga ladder, 12.8, 9, 10, 11. So in that 12.8, the Lord says that you fix your mind upon me without any deviation. Right, and then the Lord Lord knows that it is not possible for every devotee. So therefore he says, if you cannot do this, right, if you cannot spontaneously remember me, right, this is also a sadhana. This is Raganuga sadhana. Right, thinking upon remembering Krishna 24 hours. So if this is not possible, the Lord says, you practice remembrance about me through the principles of bhakti yoga. Right. And if practice is also not possible, then what to do? Then you work for me, Krishna says. So in Srila commentary, it is given that what the Lord is saying is, right, that if you cannot remember me spontaneously, then you practice remembrance of me. So the first one, 12.8, it is mostly internal. Right? It is an internal stage, Raganuga Sadhana. The second stage is internal plus external. That means while performing the angas of bhakti, one is simultaneously practicing remembrance of Krishna. And it is possible for that devotee. But there is a third stage wherein a devotee cannot even practice remembrance of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says, for such a devotee, that you just angas of bhakti without remembrance also, that is also fine. If you cannot remember, even if you cannot practice remembering Krishna, right, then what you have to do, because mind is so much disturbed, that one may not be able to practice also. Therefore, Srila Vishwanath Chakra Thakur says, that just perform the angas of bhakti, and then you will come to the next level of being able to practice to remember Krishna, and then spontaneous remembrance. So this is given in the 12th chapter. So especially at the time of death, one has to remember Krishna. Right? It's super difficult, right? To in one sense to remember Krishna at the time of death. One has to practice whole life. Right? I was just hearing a lecture by His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj just recently, which he had given in the Govardhan retreat. And how many of you attended the Govardhan retreat this time? Okay, not much, but then I can share maybe something. So His Holiness Sachinandan Swami Maharaj, he gave a session on death awareness. One session on death awareness. So in that session he was mentioning that how he himself had a Maharaj had a near-death experience, that, and also an OBE, NDE and OBE, out-of-body experience also. So Maharaj is mentioning, right, it's a long thing, but I can just share something sort of it, just the essence. So Maharaj is mentioning that he had a surgery, and after the surgery, the doctor told him there are 4 days, after 4 days after the surgery, there was so much of uncomfortability, so much pain was there, right? And the doctor also, he threw his hands up in the air and he said that, tonight you'll either live or you'll die. Right? The doctor told like that. You either live or die. So Maharaj is mentioning that there was uncomfortable, he was feeling very uncomfortable, right? A lot of pain. And so he knew that this was it, right? Tonight, if he lives, he lives, and if he leaves, he leaves. Right? I don't know exactly where Maharaj was at that time, right? But Maharaj says that he was alone, and his brahmachari servant was there, but he was also not around, and if he was tired, he was taking rest, and Maharaj was alone. And Maharaj says at that time that he was trying to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? Maharaj says that so many years, whenever he had thought about leaving the body, right, he was thinking at that time I would be chanting incessantly. And just like every devotee, right, thinks like this, that we'll be chanting and remembering Krishna throughout and all. So Maharaj said he was trying that. He says, but the pain of death was so overpowering, so much controlling, that he said that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra was seeming too long a mantra. Right? Maharaj was saying like this. So, so much excruciating pain Maharaj had. So then Maharaj also mentioned about how suddenly the pain disappeared, and he says he saw a tunnel with a light at the end of the tunnel. This is what is the general experience in near-death experiences, right? And Maharaj himself experienced this. Of course, Maharaj, right, the next day morning, Red Maharaj then remembers that he opened his eyes and the doctor was said, and the doctor said, you know, you live. Right? So in one article, right, which was on death, it is given that in the Prashna Upanishad, lot of details are given, the Prashna Upanishad, the Vedant Sutra, and also in the Garuda Purana about death. So some details are given that there at the time of death, the senses, they become dim, and the soul experiences the body for the first time, right, inside the body, from inside the body. Right now we are experiencing, right, from the body from outside, but at the time of death, right, everything becomes black. Right, because there's no light inside the body. So the soul experiences the body from inside. And then, right, it is also given that there are 118 channels. This is given the Prashna Upanishad. 118 channels or tunnels through which the soul leaves the body, leading to different gates of the body. There are 9 gates of the body. Right, so leading to different gates, 118 subtle channels. And one of these channels did by the super soul, depending upon, right, the karma of the individual. Right, depending upon the karma of the individual. That is why this experience is there of seeing a tunnel and seeing light at the end of the tunnel. Like that. So, anyway, so I thought I'll just share this detail of that. So I'll stop here regarding the verse. We'll now speak about Bhishma Dev, since today is Bhishmashtami. So Bhishma Devi is one of the Mahajanas. One of the Mahajanas. There are 12 Mahajanas and one of the Mahajanas is Bhishma Devi. And he's a very great elevated devotee Lord. Right, so it's a very long story also of Bhishma Devi, but I'll try to say what are the most important points. So Bhishma Devi is a son, eighth son of Shantanu. Eighth son of Shantanu, who's in the lunar race, right? Chandra Vamsha. And so he, basically he's one of the eight Vasus. There are eight Vasus. Vasus are one of the classes of the heavenly beings. And the story goes that Shantanu is Mahabhisheka. There is a king called Mahabhisheka in the heavenly realm. And there is an assembly in which Lord Brahma is presiding. And there is Ganga Devi and Mahabhisheka, King Mahabhisheka. And when there is a wind and Ganga Devi's clothes are a little bit deranged, then Mahabhisheka and Ganga Devi, they exchange glances, right? And because of that, Brahmaji curses both of them to take birth on earth. So Mahabhisheka, he comes down and he becomes Shantanu. Comes down, and while coming down, receives information. Actually, Lord Brahma informs her that the Vasus will take birth through her. So Ganga Devi comes down and takes up a mortal body, and on the banks of the Ganga River, she resides there, and she's waiting for her husband. So at that time, there is a king Pratipa. There's one king called Pratipa. So the king Pratipa, he's king of the entire world at that time. He's looking for a son. So he's performing austerities in that forest near the Ganga River. So Ganga Devi, when she sees Pratipa, so she comes and sits on his right thigh. Then Pratipa opens his eyes, he sees Ganga Devi is sitting on his right thigh. And then Ganga Devi says that I want that you should become my husband. So King Pratipa says at that time that the right thigh is reserved for the daughter-in-law. Right? The left thigh is for the wife, but the right thigh is reserved for the daughter. So since you have sat on my right thigh, therefore you have to be my daughter-in-law. So eventually Pratipa has a son, Shantanu, who one day comes to the same forest. He's a young man, sees Ganga Devi, gets attracted. Ganga Devi has conditions that you should not question whatever I do. If you question, then I'll move away, I'll go away, like that. So then, one by one, the Vasus are born, and Ganga Devi, she throws them into the Ganges River and liberates them from the curse. But the eighth one, who's known as Dyo, the name given is Dyo, the eighth Vasu. Right, how they were cursed is because the eight Vasus, they went to the ashram of Vasishtha Muni, and there was a Kamadhenu cow there. Right, so they, Dyo is the eldest of the Vasus. So he actually, at the behest of his wife, his wife told him that, get this cow, very wonderful cow. So because he listened to his wife and he stole, so he's cursed by Vasishtha Muni. So therefore the Vasus had to come down and take birth. So then Maharaj Shantanu, so the eighth son, when the eighth son is born, which is Bhishma Deva, Devavrat, right? So at that time King Shantanu, he objects, speaks harsh words to Ganga Devi. So then Ganga Devi says that's it, that condition is broken, I'm going, I won't throw this son, I won't kill this son, right? This son is destined to live, for the rest of his life here. But I'll give him training. So then this son will be named as Devavrat. So this Devavrat was taken away by Ganga Devi and trained in the heavenly planets, right? And it is also said that Brihaspati trained him, and also Parashuram trained him in the martial arts, the weaponry. And so Devavrat or Bhishmadev was he was the best Kshatriya on earth at that time. Most powerful Kshatriya on earth at that time. So then after he grows up, then Ganga Devi once she gets him and she hands him over to Shantanu. So then we have Devavrat going all over the earth and conquering everything, conquering everybody. He gets the whole earth under his subjugation, right? That's why, right, the Kuru race, Kurus become the emperor of the entire earth, right? And then what happens is, one day we know that Shantanu Maharaj, he gets attracted to Satyavati. Right? Satyavati, she's, her earlier name is Matsyagandhi, because she had a smell of a fish, because she was born inside a fish. Right? Her father found her inside a fish. Right? Interesting. Right? So she had a smell of a fish, but because of the Parashar Muni, right, was attracted by Matsyagandhi. Right? And then Vyasadeva was born out of that. Right? And then Parashar Muni blessed her that, you know, you will have a very good sweet perfume of, your body will no longer smell like fish, but it will smell like musk. Very, very good fragrance. Like, they blessed her like that. Then Shantanu, Satyavati, but Satyavati's father, he places a condition that, you know, according to the will of providence, this fisherman, he gives a condition that my daughter's sons should be the king. So then Shantanu is aggrieved. He goes back to the palace. Devavrat finds out, and then he goes to the fisherman, and then he speaks to him and he says that, you know, no problem. First condition is okay. Right? Then he says that, no, but if you get married, then there will be a dispute. Right? Forethinking. Right? There will be a dispute between your sons and Satyavati's sons. So then, there will be a problem. So then Devavrat takes a vow. It's a very big vow, because for a Kshatriya, Kshatriyas, they are filled with passion. Kshatriyas, they have many wives. They are allowed to have many wives, because kings are in the mode of passion. So Devavrat takes a vow that, okay, I'll remain brahmachari, I'll remain celibate. Right? We may say it's no big deal, there are so many brahmacharis in ISKCON. Right, but for a Kshatriya to take a vow like that, and a Kshatriya like Bhishmadev, he took a very, so that's why the name Bhishma came, because he took a very great vow, Bhishmadev. And then we have Bhishmadev again getting, after Vichitra, Virya and Chitrangada are born, he gets, there's a fight wherein he gets the three princes, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. Right, Amba, Ambika and Ambalika. He fights everybody and gets those three princes, actually. And then because Amba becomes dissatisfied, and Amba, she goes to Parashuram and she complains, right, that Bhishmadev is not, you know, marrying me, and because of Bhishmadev I'm in this position. So there's a big fight between Bhishmadev and Parashuram. Parashuram is actually his guru, his preceptor. So it is given that for 23 days they were fighting. Right? And who is Parashuram? Right? Parashuram is one of the great, we can imagine, when Parashuram was killing the Kshatriyas, it is given that he was killing them at the speed of the mind. And then when he got tired, he killed them at the speed of the wind. After getting tired. Right? So when he was tired, he was like a hurricane. Imagine before getting tired, what was he? He was killing the Kshatriyas at the speed of the mind. And with this person, Bhishmadev is fighting. So 23 days, right? Amba is there on this side. She's watching Parashuram and telling him, you know, defeat him. You know? And right, and Bhishmadev, right, is supported by the eight Vasus. On the 23rd day, they come in a dream and they say, don't worry, right? We are with you. You take this weapon called Prashvapa. This special weapon called Prashvapa weapon. So take this weapon called Prashvapa. Parashuram also doesn't know about this weapon. Right? So you use it, right, tomorrow. So the next day Bishwandu is there, right, he is ready to use this weapon. As soon as he takes it and puts it on his bow, immediately, right, there are Akashvanis prohibiting him, don't use this weapon, right, because it is not proper etiquette that you have to defeat Parashuram. Right, so then Narad Muni himself comes and he prohibits. And then Bhishmadev, he knows that the eight vasus have told him. So he looks at the eight vasus. Seven vasus. So the seven vasus say, yeah, if Narad Muni is saying, okay. Right? So then Parashuram and Bhishmadev, they embrace each other. Parashuram is very satisfied, very happy with the Bhishmadev. He blesses him. And he tells Amba, I tried my best. Right? Right? But this is... Right? He tells Amba like that. So we see also Bhishmadev. There are some people, they accuse Bhishmadev also that during Draupadi's Vatsaharan, right, he and Dronacharya, they kept quiet and all, like that they accuse. So there is a transcendental perspective to this and there is a material perspective also. The transcendental perspective is that in that episode, Lord Krishna wanted to show that He is the only protector. He is the actual protector. Right? So that episode shows like that. Right? Because the most powerful men on earth, they are sitting there. The most powerful Kshatriyas are sitting there, but they could not do anything to protect Draupadi. So it is shown very clearly that the Lord is the only protector. So that is the transcendental perspective. And Bhishmadev, he always knew the will of the Lord. Right? He is a great devotee of the Lord. Therefore he knows that only Lord Krishna's will be done. These Kauravas and all, they are all jumping. But nothing is going to happen. Eventually the Pandavas are going to rule. Right? So that is a transcendental perspective. And the material perspective is that, right, Draupadi came and asked also, right, in the assembly, that what is this? Shri Maharaj, he lost himself first or he lost me first? So then Bhishmadev says, he lost himself first. So then how Yudhishthira Maharaj can gamble me? Because he gambled and he lost himself first. So then Bhishmadev says that the intricacies of dharma are very difficult to understand, right? Very difficult, very hard to understand. So in one sense, he has no right. But in another sense, the wife is the property of the husband. Right? Wife is the property of the husband. So therefore, right? So Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport, also in Bhagavad Gita, that since Bhishma and Drona remained silent, right, during that episode, therefore they deserve to be punished. Right so. So in one sense, Bhishmadev had to be on the Kauravas' party, right, because he wanted to serve the Lord in a chivalrous mood. Right, Bhishmadev is a Mahajan serving the Lord in a chivalrous mood. Right, and so also on the last stages of his life, Bhishmadev he waited to see the Pandavas' glory. It was his inner desire to see the Pandavas, right? Otherwise, the five Pandavas, they came to where Bhishmadev was there. Normally, if you are going to a place, a crematorium or something, you won't dress like kings very opulently. Right? But Lord Krishna told the Pandavas that you dress very opulently, you dress like kings and come in front of Bhishmadev. Why? Because this is the desire of Bhishmadev. So we see here very clearly that even though he fought on the side of the Kauravas, right, it was his duty because he had taken a vow also. Bhishmadev had taken a vow that I will protect the ruler of Hastinapur. So it was material duty, right? But his inner desire was to see the Pandavas become kings. So, right, told the Pandavas, you dress like kings and come in front of Bhishmadev. And Bhishmadev was very satisfied too, very happy to see them. And there's a whole chapter on this, the passing away of Bhishmadev, wherein it is explained that for around 40 days or something, Bhishmadev explained the duties of Varnashram.
duties of woman, duties of a king, duties of devotees, different duties of different personalities. And then it is said that the Lord himself came in front of him in a four-handed form. Because Vishmadev was in that mood of Narayana Prema. Right? So the Lord came in that four-handed form and God relieved him from all pain also. And completely Bhishmadev was absorbed in the thoughts, in seeing the Lord and in thinking about the Lord. And this way, right, he waited for, it is said that he waited for Uttarayan. Right? But that is again just to set an example. Otherwise Bhishmadev can leave any moment. He had actually the Ichcha Mrityu. He could leave any time. And it was not necessary for him to wait for Uttarayan. But just to set an example for others, that's why he did that. So he invested his power of thinking, feeling, willing, everything. He says that. Right? And then he departed to the spiritual world. Bhishmadev ki, Bhishmastami ki. Sorry, it's 9 o'clock, so if anybody has any one question, maybe we can take, otherwise we can stop also. We'll stop here? Yeah. We can take one question? No? Shrila Prabhupada ki chai, Granthanashmad Bhagavatam ki chai. Thank you.